This is the Red Beard Podcast.
Hold on to your butts.
Do we really suck? Or is this car really that good?
Well, I have one speed, I have one gear. Go!
Well, this is not a boat accident.
You know the thing about a shark, he's got lifeless eyes. Black eyes, like a doll's eyes.
You're gonna need a bigger boat.
That's a 20 footer.
25. 3 tons on.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Red Beard Podcast. I am Tony, the red part of the podcast. I'm here with Cooley.
Yeah, I've been voted the guy most likely to be mistaken for a member of the Taliban.
Oh my god. And we're also here with a very special guest today, Jim Beller. He is the owner of the largest Jaws memorabilia collection, and he also worked on the book with Matt Taylor entitled Jaws Memories from Martha's Vineyard.
That's no shit. I actually checked it out on Google last night, and he's not lying.
And the book is amazing. If you have not checked out the book yet, definitely look into it. But Jim, so very excited to have you with us today.
Thank you for letting me be a part of this. This is going to be fun.
This is going to be awesome. So I guess the main question I wanted to ask you first is, what first turned you on to Jaws? Like, how did you find out about Jaws for the first time?
Well, when I first, I've told the story before, when I was 9 years old, it was the last day of the third grade, waiting to get out of summer. And for summer vacation, sorry. And waiting for the bell to ring, and we saw this magazine, this Time magazine, on my teacher's desk. And it had this big shark coming up out of the water saying Super Shark. I was like, what's this? And she said, oh, it's a movie about a monster shark attacking people at the beach. And I wasn't really into monster movies at the time. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, I got to go see this movie. So I ran home and asked my mom if it was okay to go see it. And in fact, that night she was going to go see it with my father in Boston, take a trip into Boston to go see it. And she goes, yeah, if it's okay for you to see, we'll take you next week with your friends and all. I was like, all right. So, you know, waiting to wake up the next morning to find out, you know, I'm up early, you know, what they think, you know. And my mom said, oh, you'll love it. It's great, you know, and I'll take you next week. And during that week, actually, a friend of the family's came over, and my mom was telling her that she, you know, was saying how she loved the movie, Jaws, was talking to her about it. And she couldn't believe, or my mother's friend couldn't believe that she was going to take us that, because what she heard what was in
right,
the movie
exactly.
With the blood and, you know, the head and all. And she goes, oh, please, if he could sit through those Christopher Lee Dracula movies, he can
right.
sit through Jaws. You know, so I love those Christopher Lee Dracula movies too when I was a kid.
Those are good.
Yeah,
are awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, is it something about, was it just Jaws specifically that attracted you to the movie, like this big shark, or did you always have a fascination with sharks?
No. I knew about sharks, you know, a little bit here and there when I was a kid. I remember there was some story in school we had to read for a book report or something that had a shark in it. So I knew about sharks, but nothing to this extreme. It was, you know, to me, it was a monster movie. You know, that's what really got me going. So my mom took me and my friends that night to Charles Movie Theater in Boston the following Friday night. And I, to this day, I remember it. I vividly remember remember what I saw that, you know, the long lines. So it was the first time, we used to go to the movies all the time. This is the first time I had to stand in line for a movie, mm-hmm. a long line for a movie to get in. And seeing the Shark Facts movie poster out in the lobby, which the producers did to scare people before they went to see the movie.
Right.
You would read this poster with all these shark facts about the movie all about sharks before you see the movie. And then I remember, you know, seeing the movie. I remember the people jumping, screaming and all. It was packed. It was a big movie theater. I don't know if you've ever been to the... It closed down in the 90s.
I saw pictures of it, but I never been
to
it.
Yeah, it was a beautiful movie theater with a big curtain that would open up. And it was a humongous screen. And my mom said, I remember her saying this too before the movie started. She goes, one scene I'm going to have to block your eyes on. And I was like, all right. I want you to put your hands over your eyes and I'll let you know when it's okay to look. And that was during when Quint, spoiler alert, when Quint gets eaten at the end.
I feel like if you haven't seen it, and it's a 40-year-old movie.
But it's all done for me.
But there have been people who haven't seen it still. So anyway, so she told me to put my eye. So what I did was I put my hands on my eyes, but I looked through my fingers, you know, through the scene. And she said, oh, yeah, after it was done, okay.
Now, did you?
I remember all that, and it's amazing.
Was there anything about the movie that really scared you, or was it just like you're just blown away by it all?
I wanted to see it again right away. I really did. It as a kid, it just really, I didn't go in the water for a long time after that. I still don't really.
Right. I don't go in the water either. I
go in pools, and I'll go into a lake. I'll be all right with that. But even though there's snapping turtles in lakes, right. I just don't like the feeling not knowing what's under you. Looking up at you, you're in their world. And so as a kid, I only went in a little, in the ocean. And we would go to the beach a lot too, and I didn't go in much.
Well, it's funny because my dad was an avid water skier when this movie came out. And then right after he saw the movie, he didn't go water skiing for 3 weeks. So I think everybody had a similar feeling after seeing that movie.
And then Jaws 2 came out with the water skier. And then again, another 3 weeks, 4 weeks after that.
And then Jaws 3, they're in SeaWorld. And the thing
comes all
up.
All the water skiers are there. Yeah, right.
Do you have something you want to throw in?
I just can't believe that Quint gets eaten. That's
I'm so sorry.
Still blowing my mind.
Well, just, you'll forget about it.
So owning the largest Jaws memorabilia collection, how did you get to acquire all this stuff? Was it just little by little, or, because some of this stuff is obscure, like a lot of people just can't even find it anymore.
Yeah, a lot of stuff I have is rare. The next day, actually, seeing the movie, I wanted to know anything about this. I got the Time magazine that I saw, that was the first thing I think I got. Then my dad brought me home the Jaws log book that Carl Gottlieb wrote, which was the making of the movie Jaws. And anything I could find, I just wanted, because it was, I wanted to see the movie again. So it was kind of looking back at it and thinking about this over the year, it was for me to get collections. This was before VHS, so this was a way for me to have the movie. Was little things like this, and just remember seeing photos and magazines and reading about the making of. Edith Blake's book, too, called On Location, The Making of the Movie Jaws, was great. That was the first book that actually had a lot of the mechanical shark photos in it.
Isn't Edith Blake, she had like a lot of pictures that nobody had seen before.
Yeah, she was an Islander, and she worked for the Vineyard Gazette and took all these photos, fantastic photos. She was there every single day of the production. All that from spring, summer, beginning of fall, when they were all there on Martha's Vineyard. So she had all these great photos. And so, I just started collecting stuff. There'd be toys, there'd be puzzles, and over the years, then the internet came out. And when I was in Boston too, there was this great store called the Nostalgia Factory on Newbury Street. And the guy got to know me, and whenever a Jaws thing would come in, he would save it for me. And, I get it. So I'd find stuff through him and other people. And this was before the internet. So it was really like a treasure hunt kind of thing, where now it's easy to just click on eBay or Etsy and you can find,
Now, when was the first time you actually went to Martha's Vineyard? Because then you found out it was filmed there. I mean, it must have been amazing to be on location.
Yeah. I was a kid, actually. It was my family would go to the Cape. We'd rent out this house on Cape Cod in Hyannis. And one year she said, I'm going to take you over to Martha's Vineyard. That's where Jaws was filmed. I was all excited. I think it was 1979. It was the year after Jaws 2 came out. I remember that. And we rented a car. We went over there and rented a car, and we drove around the island and went to Edgartown. We went to Menemsha. And I found this great t-shirt. It was a production. Actually, they have replicas of the production t-shirt now for sale in Martha's Vineyard, but it's kind of altered a little bit in the mouth. You would have to see the photos to know what I'm talking about, but of both t-shirts.
things that I probably would not
t-shirts.
Recognize.
Yeah. But this was the actual, they still had the, what is it called? The print thing that they would make the t-shirts.
Oh, the press.
The press. They still had that from the production crew left behind. They made a couple of them.
Oh, that's cool.
So somebody on the island still had that, so he would make t-shirts still. So when I found that in a shop on Martha's Vineyard, I was dying. I was like, oh my God, I still have the t-shirt today. It's old. It's like this big. It's real small.
Have you ever worn it before?
When I was a kid, yeah. Yeah, I wore it when I was a kid. but not, you know, not since. I think it'll fit me now.
Right.
But I still have it. It's in my collection.
That's
and
awesome.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, I got to see the car ferry. I remember going to the Martin and seeing the car, the Chappie ferry that would, you know, be in the movie. And actually the hardware store was still there. It's not there anymore.
It's like a clothing store or something.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah. And the hardware store was there. So I have a picture. I think I posted it on Facebook of me with the paintbrushes.
Yeah. I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah. It's on my Facebook page. When I was a kid, God, I was, how old was I? God, 11, 12 years old, something like that. But yeah, it was great. And then I didn't go back until 2005, years later. Yeah, all those years. I lived in Boston for many years. I never went. Then I moved to New York City for many years and moved back here and started talking to Jaws fans online. Mm-hmm. And I met up with one friend of mine, Dana Goudreau, and he took me to Martha's Vineyard since I was a little kid. And it was great seeing, it was like in the winter time too, so no one was there. It was dead. But it was great seeing all these locations and stuff. And the 4th of July, you know, the bridge, you know, the 4th of July scene and all that from the beach.
There was something that you said earlier that was a good call out. You mentioned how the, you know, like the memorabilia that you were collecting, like those like photos and things like that. It just kind of like, it was your way of seeing the movie again.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was before the advent of having, you know, Betamax, VHS,
right.
You know, and it just clicked in my mind because, like, when I was a kid, like, you know, like Tarzan and things like that, like, or King Kong, like, to see those things again, like, I had to have, like, you know, trading cards,
Famous Monsters Magazine,
so that brought to mind, like, just like the idea of, like, nowadays, like, you just don't have the same types of collectibles that or memorabilia that you could find for, like, today's movies or today's like big franchises, because you can just get a DVD.
The movies come out 3-4 months later now.
Right.
They don't even, you know, they stay in the movie theater for a month or so and then they're gone.
That's actually a good call out, because I noticed that when I was a kid, like, especially I used to go to Major Video.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that place obviously doesn't exist anymore, but you would wait almost about 6 months to 9 months for that video to come out. And then they would be like 40 copies. And once they're gone.
And now
it's like, it's just right to DVD. It's
right.
Like, yeah, there's nothing except that.
Well, it is funny too, because when I did end up seeing the movie 6 times when I was a kid in the cinema before, you know, VHS came out. But I grew up north of Boston in the North Shore of Boston. And we used to go to the Liberty Tree Mall in Danvers. And there was a shop there, Leechmere. I don't know if they had it here in Rhode Island. Okay.
Yeah.
So we would go shopping at the mall, and then we'd go to Leechmere. And honest to God, they had those. It wasn't even a Laserdisc. It was those RCA slip movies. Remember those cases that you would slip into the disc, and it had a needle or something. And if it had a scratch, it would skip the scenes. So anyway.
Oh, you're making me feel young again.
So I remember one time we were getting there, and they're showing Jaws. And I said, I'm sitting here. You can go shop. I said, you know, is it okay? Oh, I asked her. I'm like, in my mind, this is where I'm staying, but I'm asking my mom. Is it okay if I stay here? You go shop? And she said, yeah, just stay right here. So then I watched the last hour of the movie. Like, it was on side 2 or something like that of this disc or whatever it was. And I remember, and then they looped it again. It was like the end, and my parents were coming back, but then they were looping it over to show it again. It was like to the side, the beginning of side 2 again. I'm like, Mom, can I stay and watch it again? She's like, no. So, I mean, it was great seeing stuff like that when I was a kid, you know, and it was like a bunch of us kids hanging out in front of the TV watching this. I wasn't the only one. It was a bunch of people watching Jaws. It was amazing how the movie would draw people in no matter what.
So what's the favorite thing that you have in your collection? Like the favorite piece of memorabilia?
That is always the toughest. So many people have asked me this over the years, and it's always the toughest to answer because there's so many great stuff that I just can't believe I found and have. A lot of the stuff, to be honest with you, really honest, is stuff that people give me as presents, like fans and friends. They give me gifts and stuff. So I'll hang on to that. That means a lot to me. I don't know. It's maybe, you know, I have the tooth, the original rubber tooth. Yeah, the set designer, John Dwyer, ripped it out of the mechanical shark's mouth when they wrapped that scene and the Quint attack scene. Sorry, this is a spoiler again. But
Jesus Christ! You're ruining the movie for us, Jim.
But yeah, it's the actual rubber tooth. I have it actually right over there in my office in the room.
What about, I know that when, you know, that show Fanatics came and actually talked to you and they kind of took a look at your collection and gave you an evaluation. I think one of the coolest things that I saw was the book that has all the signatures in it.
Oh, yeah,
I
yeah.
I feel like that
yeah.
would have been one of their favorite things. That was like amazing.
That's
Can
good.
You talk
that's,
about that?
That's great too. It's funny how I got that. Working, as you mentioned earlier in the intro, that I worked on this book called Jaws, Memories of Martha's Vineyard with Matt Taylor. And during the making of this book, like our 6 years of putting this together, I would meet people who, you know, locals on the vineyard who were involved with the movie, or their parents were, or whatever, and they'd have this, that, or the other thing, a lot of photos, whatever. This one woman had the original hardcovered copy of the novel Jaws by Peter Benchley, and had it signed by a number, oh my God, of cast and crew people while they were on the island. She was actually dating somebody on the crew at the time, and he got her to go, you know, God, everybody, you name it, Roy Scheider. Spielberg's name isn't in it, and I was bummed about that. But Bob Maddie signed it, which is very rare. But yeah, a lot of the crew, Cal Acord, you name it, they're in there. There's like over 50 signatures. So she wanted to get rid of it. So, you know, during the, I couldn't believe she had this book. And originally I was thinking about scanning the signatures and somehow putting it in the book somehow, but we ended up not doing that. Mm-hmm. But I ended up buying this book off this woman.
No, everybody, you said it almost the cast and crew. So it was, you know, Robert Shaw as well.
He's not in it either. I'm okay. Sorry. The three, Richard Dreyfuss, Roy Scheider's in there. Lorraine Gary, Murray Hamilton, Robert Shaw and Spielberg aren't. Those are the four that I wish were.
Is it common? Like, I feel like Robert Shaw never really signed anything. He was kind of elusive, I feel.
No, he signed. There are signatures. There's a lot, you know, those who collect signatures, be very careful, because there's a lot of fake ones on eBay. A lot of Jaws people get in touch with me and ask me if, you know, if this signature is real before they buy it. I tell them that. Please get in touch with me and I can verify or send you to someone who can definitely verify if it's the real thing. So no, but there are Robert Shaw ones. He signs index cards a lot. Like people would, he signs in pen a lot. And if it's a marker, like a Sharpie, it's a fake, because Sharpies weren't around before Robert Shaw passed away. So that's a good way of knowing it's real or fake.
I would never think of that.
Yeah, because Sharpies weren't invented yet. So, but I actually have one, and it's signed to Jimmy. I was I found one on eBay years ago. It says to Jimmy and it's Robert Shaw. Nice. I was like, cool.
I'll take it.
So I think, you know, for another question that I have is, this is something that I've always wondered. So there's a line in Jaws where Roy Scheider says, you're going to need a bigger boat.
Yes.
I mean, everyone knows that line.
Yes.
I've read in numerous places that it was improv. Some people say it wasn't. What's the deal
okay.
with that?
Here's the story. And both Carl Gottlieb and Roy Scheider verified this a long time ago. I actually have an original shooting script it was Bill Butler, the cinematographer. It's his shooting script and his notes all over it and little, you know, things here and there in it. And in that script, Roy Scheider says it after he says it to Robert Shaw. You know how Robert Shaw comes, we're going to need a bigger boat, right?
Right.
He says it. Oh, it's at the end. I'm sorry. The end of the scene. We can radio in and get a bigger boat out here. That line was in the script. That one line. But it wasn't where he was chumming, and it wasn't where, you know, they're got to get to work. Mm-hmm. How do we handle this? How do we handle this? We're going to get a bigger boat, right? You know, that was not in the script. He improvised that line. And you're going to need a bigger boat after the chum. So it actually was in the script, but at the very end of that scene, when we stay out, when Quinn says, oh, we stay out here, we'll find him until we find him again. And he goes, well, you can radio in and get a bigger boat out here, right?
Right.
That was in the script. So they thought that line was great. And Roy Scheider says, you know, he asked Spielberg, do you mind if I improv it a couple of other plays? Because Spielberg thought it was a funny line too. So they improvised it on those two. So it's true for both. It was improvised by Roy Scheider, and it was in the script by Carl Gottlieb, but just at the end of that scene.
But the most famous one is improv.
Is after chumming, yeah, and the shark
That's
comes
awesome.
Up. Yes, yes.
Awesome.
But yes, so that's the story with that.
You know Jaws better than anybody. Is there? What is your favorite scene in the movie?
Well, not better than anyone, but what is my favorite scene? I don't have a favorite. I don't know. There's so many. That's what makes that movie so great. It's just, it's so well put together. I mean, it. I love, all right, I talk about one segment that I think is just brilliant to this day, and I watch it still, and I just think it's well edited and put together, is the Kitner boy attack scene.
Yeah.
That scene, how the camera, you know, shows Brody, and it doesn't cut. It kind of sweeps when a person walks by it, and you see his point of view, and it sweeps back to hit Roy Scheider looking out again, and mm-hmm. that, how that is all edited together. And then, you know, is that the shark? No, it's some guy in a hat. And, you know, is that girl
screaming? Some bad hat, Harry.
Yeah. I just, that whole segment. And plus, if you know, it's amazing what they did back then for a PG movie. Mm. I mean, that, and that one scene, you have a dog. I'm sorry, another spoiler, but a dog. You got a dog and a
earmuffs.
Little, and a dog and a little boy getting killed in a scene. You never see that in movies nowadays. You know, you never see an animal get killed, and you never, you know, see a little kid get killed in movies. But to have both of those in one scene is amazing. And it was, you know, well, the little, you know, it was in the book, the little boy got killed in the book from Peter Benchley. But the scene with the dog is all new. But I just, that whole scene, I would, that's a brilliant scene. And I love the first barrel chase scene, too. How that, you know, after the chumming and then that whole segment, I think it's cool.
I think my favorite scene is, yeah, right after the chumming where you see the enormous size of the shark come right by the boat.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's like, it's a 20-footer, 25. Like, that
three
was
tons
just,
of them. Yeah.
That was,
yeah.
That's still to this day, like, if I watch that scene, that's my
it's
favorite.
It's a great shot.
It's such a great shot.
Yeah.
Now that was actually not, that was one of those sharks that they dragged
the
by.
Sea sled shark. That was a sea sled. Yeah.
So
Lynn, yep. Lynn and Susan Murphy spent a lot of time practicing on that shark. And they did an amazing job. Majority of the movie, actually, if you go back and look at it, most of the times you see the shark, it's swimming. That's a sea sled shark. The mechanical shark with the armature, which is what they were having problems with, that shark just comes up out of the water and moves its mouth. That's that mechanical shark with the arm. That's a different shark than the sea sled shark. They had three different sharks on the island. Mm-hmm. One was a left to right shark, and, you know, right to left, where they would have one side of the shark dug out with a mechanic so they can work on it if something happened. And the other side was just the skin. So they would use that shark for one angle, camera angle, and then vice versa with the other side. So whenever you do see the shark coming up out of the water and jumping up, just that, not swimming, just jumping up, that's the mechanical shark with the armature with the track on the bottom of the ocean floor. Whenever, and most of the movie, you do see the sea sled shark because that worked. Mm-hmm. Because that, you know, Lynn and Susan Murphy just dragged that around. And the barrels, they dragged them, you know, those things around too. We thought the shark was there, but it's really bad, you know, it's just barrels.
I never thought of that. Yeah.
So,
I mean, I know that they, one of the big things about Jaws and the reason the shooting went so long is for a lot of different reasons, but mostly because I kept having problems with the shark.
It was a lot of corrode, you know, the pneumatics and the corroding of that salt water. It was the first time they stuck it in salt water and the first time it just sank to the bottom, kind of thing. That's the, how the story goes. But doing this book, we found out that the shark actually worked pretty well right away. What the problem was that took so long, they were having problems, is the shark had this control panel. We had five or six guys with different levers. One would do the mouth, one would do the head, left and right, one would do the tail, you know, all this different stuff. They would have to sink in together to work to make the shark come up realistically out of the water. And it took them a long time to be in sync to show how, you know, this, like if one person moved a lever, it's not enough, it would look weird. It would come out of the water weird. The mouth would go this way. That it would go, you know, it would just look. So that was what the problem was mainly. Because from what I've heard from the crew, a lot of the crew, they took care of the pneumatics thing right away. They figured that out with the salt water, and that was fixed. What was the problem was, and Spielberg wanted it to look real, and, you know, by all means, it worked, you know, that it took the guys a long time to move those six or seven levers to be in sync all at once. As a one, these seven guys to work one shark. to have it in sync correctly, come up out of the water. Or five or whatever it was. But that's what took a while. Spielberg wasn't happy with how it was coming out of the water. So they have to go back and rework it and figure it out and do that. And that's what took a while to do.
Being that I've seen your collection, mm-hmm. and you have stuff I don't even know where you got all this stuff. But I mean, it's you got some really great stuff. But is there like an elusive piece that you haven't found yet that you're looking for?
There's a couple. Yeah, there's still a couple. There's this one I cannot believe I haven't found this. To this day, I still cannot believe I haven't found this. When I was a kid, you know, when I was looking for all this Jaws stuff when I was a kid, we had this music shop downtown Lynn. That's where I grew up, Lynn, Mass. And there was a record store, and they would sell piano books, piano sheet music for pianos and song selection books. And they had a Jaws one with like five or six selections from the soundtrack, John Williams. And to this day, I can't find it. I remember holding it in my hand, flipping through it, and wanting it. I asked my dad, can I get this? And he goes, no. Why do you want that? We don't own a piano. Put that back. And I was like, oh. To this day, though, I haven't found it. And I know, and there's a part of me that says, did I really? Is that true? No, but I was like, no. I remember holding it and flipping through it and seeing scenes from the movie at the beginning. They would have these scenes. Star Wars had one after that. And all these other movies, you know, John Williams would put these piano selections out in a book, different selections from the soundtrack. And there's a Close Encounters one, there's Superman. I mean, there's all these other movies from the 70s. And there was a Jaws one. I don't think I've ever seen a Jaws 2 one. It just dawned on me, too. I don't think I've ever seen a Jaws 2 one also. But I remember holding the Jaws one. It had a black cover. It was the album cover, basically, you know, with the black and, mm-hmm. and all that. But I'm still looking for that. I can't believe, you know, there's all these songbooks on eBay and all this stuff, and I can't believe I haven't found that one. And there's also a belt in the UK that a friend of mine, Eddie McCormick, has. Who's also a Jaws collector. No, he's a Jaws collector himself, and I'm glad he has it. I'm glad he found it. But it's this great little kid's belt that has the belt buckle. I do have the belt buckle. It's the poster art with the shark and Chrissy swimming. But around the belt itself, it just says Jaws, 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 Jaws around it. It's a kid's belt. And I haven't found that. Another one. I know he has one, so I know it's out there. But I haven't found one for myself yet.
Is there a piece that you know of? I mean, you kind of listed a couple now, but I know there's... a friend of yours has a certain item that
Pete.
Yeah, so can you talk about what that is? That's pretty awesome.
This is fantastic. A friend of mine, Peter Spadetti, bought at Profiles in History Auction, God, I don't know how many years ago now, the original Quint chair, fishing chair, and the fishing rod from Lynn and Susan Murphy. Lynn and Susan Murphy let the crew borrow that. That was theirs. Lynn and Susan Murphy had a fishing... business. So they would take people out going fishing on boats and stuff. And that was their chair from their boat. So the crew saw that and they asked, can we borrow this for a scene? And they were like, yeah, sure. So they put it on the Orca and, you know, did that whole scene with a click, 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 click of the fishing rod and all that. And my friend of mine, Pete Spadetti, owns that, the chair and the original, the fishing rod too. And this is what I would love to have someday, or just at least see it in a museum. On the vineyard or something. It's the original dorsal fin that they towed in the 4th of July scene when you first saw the shark and the girl, the girl says, shark, shark. You see the fin in the tail. The actual dorsal fin is at my friend Pete's house. And it's huge. I mean, we've taken pictures with it and it's great.
That's awesome.
It's fantastic. And it's in great shape today. And you feel it. It's like has this, how they would paint the shark was they would mix sand in with the gray paint so the shark would look rough like shark skin. Mm-hmm. So that's on the fin. It's like all this. It's really cool. Haven't seen it yet? No, you haven't met Pete yet.
Well, I haven't met Pete, but I've seen pictures of it.
Yeah.
That's something.
I got to get you over there. Yeah. You got to see this.
That'd be sick.
It's great. But yeah, I'm so happy he has it. He takes great care of it. But like, you know, Indiana Jones, it belongs in a museum. Someday. I know Pete enjoys it. So, but someday it'll be great to see it somewhere.
So, Jim, this is a time in, you know, modern day cinema where everybody is, you know, doing the next reboot, the next remake.
Tell me about it.
You know, the next continuation of the saga that happened years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I know Spielberg said that, you know, we're not, there's not going to be a remake of Jaws while I'm alive.
Right. Any of his movies. He said there's not going to be a remake of any of his movies.
Right.
He's alive.
He's going to die eventually.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately.
We don't want it to happen.
It all happens to all of us.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks for making my day. This interview's over.
spoiler alert, Jim. Spoiler alert. It's going to happen. My question for you is this. Like, this, when it's inevitable, there's going to be a Jaws remake. And if it doesn't happen.
It won't work.
If it doesn't happen under the title Jaws, it's going to be, you know.
Well, it would be cool. Maybe a sequel. Who knows?
Something like Maws, something like that. But anyway, my question for you is, how do they do this in a way, if it did, how do they do this in a way that gets you excited about it?
No, it doesn't.
Ever.
No, I'm sorry. No, I'm so against remakes. I really am. There are a few good ones out there. I'll give it that. The Thing is a great remake of the original. Nobody thought that
could ever happen either, because the original John Carpenter, The Thing, was amazing.
Right, and that's a remake.
Yeah, and it was good.
Yeah, but no, hold on. All right, my whole thing with remakes is, and this is Joe Alves, who was the production designer for Jaws and Jaws 2 and directed Jaws 3D. He has a great line where he says, "I wish Hollywood would go back and redo the flops instead of remake." He wishes Hollywood would stop remaking hits into flops and going back to make flops into hits. You know,
that's actually pretty cool. That makes
sense. There's no reason for it. I mean, Poltergeist. I refuse to see Poltergeist. I'm sure it's fine. I heard Sam Rockwell did it. He's really good in it, I heard. But I have no desire to see that. For me, though, what I would love to see is, and this proved with Jaws coming back this summer, it packed the houses again. They should have the originals come back on the big screen so another generation could see it on the big screen. Because it's different than seeing it on your TV. Even though there are big screen TVs, there's nothing like seeing it on a humongous screen. It makes it a whole different experience in any movie.
Right.
And when I saw Jaws last month when it played in cinemas again, it was the theater I was in was packed with people, and it was great.
I will say this. I mean, I never saw Jaws when it first came out, obviously, because I was born in 82. It came out in 75.
Right.
So when I had the opportunity, not this summer, but previous, my fiance and I went to the drive-in, and it was Jurassic Park and then Jaws.
Yeah.
And that was like the first time I'd ever seen it on the big screen. So when we got there, I looked at her, I said, I've never seen this like in a big screen like this. So it was awesome.
Isn't it? It makes it a really whole great. Different movie. Seriously. It really does.
Yeah. Awesome. Movies lose their magic when you translate them to a smaller screen. They do because they're made to be viewed on a larger format that.
But I mean, you can get into, don't get me wrong. There, you know, I watch a lot of movies now at home here, TV, and I still get into them. If it's a good suspense movie, I'm at the edge of my seat, you know, but after I watched it, I was like, damn, I wish I saw that in the theater. Mm. You know, I say that a lot. I was like, oh man, I should have saw that in the theater.
But there's something about like the boom, boom, boom the sound and the surrounding.
Yes, definitely.
Not all of us have, I mean, you're looking at me like I'm an idiot, but I mean, not all of us have the money.
Not me.
Not all of us have the money to, I'm talking about Tony, Red over here. Not all of us have the money to have a home theater system like you, right?
I don't have a home theater
system.
That's
what I'm saying. So stop looking at me like I'm an alien.
I'm looking at you answering the question. I can't look at you answer the question.
So I'm just saying, like, there's like being in the theater and having that audio like that, just kind of like, and seeing everything like with, especially with IMAX now. I know this doesn't relate to Jaws, but like, I don't know. There's just, I watched the new Mad Max movie recently.
Okay,
it wasn't a reboot. It wasn't a remake, but it was a continuation. Yes. Like I was just talking about, and it was awesome because it was by George Miller. And,
yes,
you know. But I watched it at home. And all I could think of while I was at home was like, wow, I wish I had seen this in the movies when it was out. Because I refused to go see it because I was like, I'm not going to go see Mad Max.
Yeah.
For the same reasons that you brought up.
I heard it was amazing. And I'm like, really? Because I saw the trailer and it looked all right. But, you know, I love Road Warrior. I think that's the best out of all of them. Absolutely. But people say this is as good as the Road Warrior. So, you know, I'm going to give this a shot. I will see it when it comes out.
Nice.
But going back, going back to big screens, it's here in Providence, Rhode Island, we do Movies on the Block every Thursday during the summer. And that's a great way of seeing original movies on a big screen. And again, Jaws was there a few weeks ago. I was there. And it was the biggest one they've ever had. The people were like a block down. Mm. They were on the sidewalk a block down trying to watch the movie. It was amazing how many people showed up for this thing. So there are people out there who want to see the original on big screen. So they should start doing it more and more, I think.
Now, do you think there's a reason why, you know, obviously now we live in an age too where everything's like CGI. If they were going to do Jaws, I'm sure it would be a CGI shark.
Yes.
So is that one of the reasons why it wouldn't work? Because they would never make another mechanical shark.
Yeah, unfortunately. And that's a piece of work. I mean, you really look at the mechanical shark, and that's artwork, you know? And that's another thing with CGI. CGI is good, but it takes the magic away from asking, oh, my God, how'd they do that? Like when The Exorcist came out, like Poltergeist, like, how do you do that? How did that happen? You know, how did the crew do, how, you know? Mm-hmm. You don't have that anymore because it's CGI. It's CGI. It's all CGI. So you ruin that. But yeah, again, I really don't think, I mean, I'm probably going to be wrong, but I hope I'm not, that there will never be a Jaws remake out there because it's been done to death. All these shark movies, you know, they're just being ridiculous now.
I mean, Deep Blue Sea was amazing.
Yeah.
So. Yeah, we just got to, No, if there is a remake, we have to get LL involved for sure. Yeah. Sam L. Jackson.
My head is like a shark fin.
But I mean, you know the Sharknadoes and you know, what are the some of the other
like
shark movies?
I think they're
well,
so
I like
bad.
The second one. Oh, it's so bad. I
can't bring myself to watch it.
You got to see the second one. The first one I didn't like. I tried to watch the first one. I was like, oh my God, this is awful. And then I watched the second one, and it happened in New York City. I just thought it was hilarious because I lived in New York. So it was just seeing what was going on in New York was hilarious, I thought. And I thought it was fun. It was a fun movie. I haven't seen the third one yet.
Yeah, I watched it because I'm just a big Ian Ziering fan. So yeah, bring it on. Bring on more of that.
It's good he's getting work nowadays. but no, there's all these other dumb shark movies, Ghost Shark and all that. Oh. It's ridiculous. It's just, you know, enough. So that's what I think. And you just can't do it again. Jaws is it's the shark movie. There's no other shark movie other than Jaws. That is the ultimate shark movie.
Well, was there a shark movie before Jaws came out?
No.
Or that was the first one?
Well, there were sharks in movies, but not.
But that was like the first featured shark.
Yes. Okay. And that's why it you know, people were afraid because back then you didn't know much about sharks.
True.
You know, the fear of the unknown. That was a big part of that movie. Now we know more about sharks with Shark Week and all this stuff. But
I mean, you really got to give it up to Peter Benchley because, I mean, that was his novel.
Yeah.
The fact that he came up with that whole idea and hadn't been done before, that's creativity right there.
I mean, people say, you know,
there was Moby Dick, though.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. What a horrible. I don't know.
I'm just saying. I mean,
the book is a classic.
The one with Patrick movie. Stewart? No.
No, no. Oh, God. I forgot they did that one. Oh, my God. Talk about remakes.
Yeah, horrible.
But no, it's. You know, the book is good, Peter Benchley. You know, if it wasn't for Benchley, there wouldn't be a movie. So you got to give credit to Peter Benchley. But I still believe that it's a rare event where the movie is better than a book. Usually the book is much better than the movie. Usually that's the case. Mm. With Jaws, it's not. I really believe the movie is a lot better than the book.
Do you remember when Orca came
out?
Was that,
I
was
saw that in the theater
when
I was a kid. That was after Jaws.
That was after Jaws.
Oh, they had all these great Jaws ripoffs after that, which I love. I get into those.
Orca was awesome. I mean,
Grizzly is my favorite one. Grizzly is fantastic. Have you ever seen Grizzly?
I've seen pieces of
it. Oh, it's great. It's a direct ripoff of Jaws. You have the forest ranger, the shark, the bear expert. And the bear hunter out there, you know.
What is a bear expert like?
But you got to see it.
Does
if
he
you
come
seen
out
it.
With like his little kit?
And yeah, like, he's like a, you know,
testing the soil. Like, oh, a bear's been here.
But you
Wait,
have to.
We're
see
in the woods. He's probably here.
Like this tentacles. It's piranha. Piranha. Actually, Spielberg has said that piranha is his favorite. Jaws ripoff movie by Joe Dante, the original one, not the one that just came out.
Well, I was going to say, because the one that just came out did have Dreyfuss in it for like, yes, what, like a 2 minutes.
And he played Hooper, basically. He played Hooper, yeah. Supposedly. Not, you know.
Uncredited.
Yeah, I not guess. Officially yeah, Hooper, but technically. But yeah.
But he was singing the...
Yeah,
the,
yeah.
The, yeah. So.
Show Me the Way to Go Home or something like that.
I have a question for you, though. This brings me back to your collection, though. When we talk about, you know, you having the largest memorabilia collection... How do you know that? Like, is it all everything cataloged? Is that how it works?
Yeah. Well, my website, God, it's that's like, true. You know, JawsCollector.com. Look at it now. And unfortunately, and hopefully, I keep on saying this now for a while. It's been busy. I have over 1,000+ updates, photos, that is not on my website. Mm-hmm. So for the past, since the last update was in 2011. So I've gotten all this stuff since 2011. Seriously, it's over 1,500 photos or something, or more stuff. So, yeah, but I mean, there are other collectors out there that have a lot of stuff too. I mean, you know, Greg Nicotero is one, you know, from The Walking Dead. He's a great job. He has some great stuff in his collection. You know, Pete Spadetti, Eddie McCormick. I can go on and on. There's so many people out there. Yes,
You just dashed the dreams of like everybody that was trying to catch up to you, because they keep checking your website and they're like, I'm almost there. And you're like, I have 1,000 more pieces that I haven't put on there, and everybody was like, oh.
Shit. No. Well, actually, I announced this recently.
Right.
I was shocking a lot of people saying this, but I'm starting to sell my collection. And look at your face. You're like, what?
Now, what was the reason for that? I mean, because
it was a lot. I just, you know, I recently went to my storage facility where all these bins are and stuff. I was looking for something. And I'm like going through the stuff looking. I'm like, I can't find this thing, but I'm going through all this stuff. I'm like, my God, what good is this in bins? It's sitting here, you know, doing no good. So, you know what? It's like, it's time. I've done it. It's, you know, it's, I want to pass it on now to other fans and other collectors out there. There are a lot of younger people now who love the movie and are collecting, you know? Mm. And I also want to I'm going to donate some of my stuff to the Martha's Vineyard Museum.
That's awesome.
On the island where it was filmed. They're going to hopefully have a Jaws section, and I want to help them out with that. But, you know, I just figured it's time. You know, I've been doing this for such a long time, since I was 9 years old.
Wow.
And, yeah, it's just time, I thought. That's why. And I just seeing it all in bins, and I was like, what the hell good is it sitting here? You know, let's spread the joy now. Mm. So I'm starting to sell the stuff off.
So,
But I'm, hold on. I should also say I'm not getting rid of everything.
Oh, yeah. you did say that.
There are some stuff I'm hanging on to.
Okay.
But I would say 98% of my collection is going to be gone. Sold.
Wow.
But yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. Or given to the vineyard, you know.
Yeah. Now, I guess I'd like to have you talk about the book a little bit and how that came about, because I know that was a huge book. From what you've told me, it took you 6 years to write it.
Put it together, both of us. The original concept of the book, you know, it was Jaws Fest. It was right before Jaws Fest, actually, around that time. And I was thinking to myself, you know, there must be all these people on the island that has these photos, or, you know, because a lot of the people on the island on Martha's Vineyard were part of the cast and crew at the time. They would hire them. And in fact, if you think about it, the movie only has 5 people from Hollywood in the movie. The rest are all locals, the entire movie. And they hired a lot of people for crew on the vineyard too. So I just thought, God, there's gonna be so many photos here. And I thought it'd be cool to do a coffee table book just showing the making of Jaws through photos. Because there's already been so many documentaries on TV talking about the making of, and how many other stories could there be? I say, you know, all the stories have been told probably. So let's a different concept would do it, showing the making of the movie through photos. I thought that would be a cool different concept, and to find all these photos for fans to have. So I started doing that right in 2005, and just going through people, you know, talking to people, and one person would say, oh, do you know this person? They have a bunch of photos too. Then I'd talk to them, and then that person would tell me about somebody else, and same thing. So I was talking to Kristen Henshaw, who was Craig Kingsbury's daughter. He played Ben Gardner in the movie. Mm-hmm. And she's a sweetheart. She's a very nice woman. And she knew this guy, Matt Taylor, on the island. He just got out of college, and he was a writer. And I was looking for a writer, actually, to do a forward and afterwards for the book. And that was it. That was going to be all the writing. It was just going to be, you know, the beginning, the forward, just to set it up to let people, you know, somewhat history of the making of the movie on this island. And then the end, the afterwards. So I was just looking for somebody to write that. And I wanted somebody new. I wanted to help them out with their career. I didn't want someone who was a legit writer already and all that. I wanted to try to find someone new. And she knew this kid, this guy, Matt Taylor. So I was like, you know, let me give you his number. We can, you know, you can set something up. So I ended up talking to Matt. He was interested. I actually met him for the first time at the Spielberg cabin in Edgartown, where Spielberg stayed during the making of Jaws, during Jaws Fest in 05. And we just hit it off, and he was like, yeah, he's all excited. You know, I was excited that he was excited, and it was great. It's going to be a great idea. A few weeks later, he calls me and he says, you know, Jim, I've been thinking there are a lot more stories that people don't know about the making of Jaws. I was like, what are you talking about? He goes, all these locals have all these stories that I've been hearing over the years, because he's from Martha's Vineyard. So he grew up with all these people who worked on the movie, and he's heard all these great stories. So he's like, why don't we do something about the Islanders' point of view, who were, you know, all these crew members, all the cast, their stories, and no one's ever heard before. I was like, great idea. He's like, can I write? I was like, yes, you're the writer. So that was it. That's how it all started. And it was, you know, that my concept turned into this amazing book that Matt worked his ass off on. Mm-hmm. He really did. I mean, he found all these great stories that no one's ever heard before. Photos, too. He helped with photos that I couldn't get. Because it's funny, you know, the island, you know, you come to stranger's house, Kai, do you have any Jaws photos? Oh, no, you know. But, you know, they do. Mm. Because you're not a local. You know, you're off right. An islander. So, you know, what are you doing with my photos? So, but Matt, living there and knowing these people, they would happily give him photos. So he got photos that I couldn't get, which was great, So we worked together on this for 6 years, and it turned out to be a big hit. And Spielberg, we were always hoping that he would write the foreword. We weren't sure. Carrie, our manager, would get in touch with them, with Spielberg's assistant over the years. You know, they knew about this book coming out and working on. And we've asked, and he goes, yeah, well, send it. When you're done with it, send it. We'll see if he wants to write one or not. So the story goes, when we send it, she said he was blown away. He couldn't believe what we found, and that's why he wrote this great foreword to the book. So we were just honored. I just couldn't believe he was, you know.
I mean, that's something to say, though. I mean, like, you wrote a book and Spielberg wrote the foreword.
Yeah,
that is amazing.
It was an honor. I mean, really, he just, you know. Yeah, I'm still speechless about it. I just thought it was really cool and nice that he did that. And especially for Matt, you know, it's going to help his career. And, you know, he's now working on another book. Hopefully he's been doing it for a couple of years. I'm not supposed to talk about it, but the subject matter. But it's nothing to do with Jaws.
Okay. Just throw that out
or
there.
Or Jaws 2 or Jaws 3 it's or Jaws Revenge.
It's about Orca.
It's about Orca.
And Grizzly.
No, but I can't wait to see this book that he's doing now. So I'm so happy that the fans love it. That's another thing, because you work on this book for 6 years and it's hard, and you know that's another thing. You know what you have and you can't say a word about it or, you know, share it yet online or anything. But then you're seeing this and he's showing me pages and I'm like, oh my god, when I first saw the first five chapters put together, that was the first time I saw what he did. I mean, he was showing me pages here and there. But the first time was the summer, it was 2010, and he had the first five chapters done, and we had it in book form, and he gave it to me. I was like flipping through, going, I was like, this is a Jaws fan's dream book. This is incredible. There's, you know, newspaper articles that are just from the Martha's Vineyard Gazette back then. We found all this stuff. I mean, it's amazing. It's like a scrapbook almost.
Now, you just updated it, though. The cover has been changed a little bit.
Yeah, which is my favorite cover now. Eric Hollander, who was the director of The Shark Is Still Working, and he does, he's worked on book covers before and all that. So Matt got in touch with him, and he did this 40th anniversary version of our book, the cover of our book, which is beautiful. I think he did a great job. It's the buoy, Chrissy's buoy, and the sunset. It's, you know, the with the beach with the cabanas in the background. Mm-hmm. It's brilliant. And we put a couple of photos in there. We snuck a couple of like, treats in there for fans too, like that's new so cool. photos that weren't in the other two versions of our book.
I need to actually get the new one because I have the old one, but I just to get the new one because of the cover.
Yeah. Don just got it.
I have to go watch Jaws now. This is this is really, really getting me excited for this movie. When does it come out?
And obviously, we should mention that, you know, especially for this year, we've talked about it being re-released and stuff because this year marks the 40th anniversary of Jaws. So, you know, one of the reasons, too, I wanted to do this episode with you specifically because you know so much about the film.
No, thank you.
But if you want to throw out... your website so people can check out your stuff and where to go to maybe buy some of the stuff you're selling.
Yeah. Well, JawsCollector.com is my website, and you can find me on Facebook under Jaws Collector. I have that and my own personal page also, Jim Beller. But and people usually get in touch with me on Facebook in the Jaws Collector section, ask me questions and stuff. And also the book is still available on Amazon. Jaws, Memories from Martha's Vineyard by Matt Taylor. And you can actually get links on my website, JawsCollector.com, to the book and all that. And the book's website, too, that we put together with some rare photos on there, too.
Awesome.
So, but thank you. Thank
I feel for, like I'm leaving out some questions that I totally want to ask. I can't remember what they are. Like, I know I'm going to forget a question or something.
Well, get in touch with me on Facebook.
Anything that you want to ask? Any other last minute questions? No.
Hello.
It's awkward. So,
I'm Cooley.
That was great. Thank you.
I
mean,
I do have one more question for you, and this is just top five movies. I know Jaws is number one.
Jaws is number one.
Just give us like five through two.
Number one, Moby Dick with Patrick Stewart. Number two, Jaws. Deep Blue Sea.
Humanoids from the deep.
Orca.
I like how you say it like you're working a late night TV.
Orca.
All right. Well, we know Jaws is number one.
It's tough. Raiders of the Lost Ark is my favorite action movie.
Nice.
Schindler's List. I love that. That's a brilliant, brilliant movie by Spielberg. Close Encounters.
They're all
Star
Spielberg.
Wars.
They're all Spielberg.
No, Spielberg. I know.
They're all Spielberg.
Star Wars. You know, the original Star Wars. I was a kid when that came out. Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah.
You know. Oh God. Comedies. Tootsie. Arthur. Man, I don't know. That's a bunch. I'm a big film nut too, and I love all these other
that's
movies.
That's more than five. So
yeah. Sorry. That's
like 12.
And then there's this, and then there's that, and then Italian
Reel it
Inferno,
in, Jim. Reel it in.
The Towering Inferno and Poseidon Adventure. Jurassic Park, Jurassic World.
Oh man.
Jurassic Park 3.
Jaws 4, The Revenge.
Jurassic 3.
World is an example of one of these.
Huge hit, huh?
Yeah.
It's number three top grossing movie of all time now. Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
It was great. I thought it was a lot of fun. Some people, you know, didn't like it. It was a fun movie. It's a popcorn movie.
Exactly. I loved it, except for D'Onofrio. I didn't really care for D'Onofrio. Like,
oh, I didn't mind.
We got to use these raptors out here.
We
got this, man. Don't worry.
He has changed so much from Adventures in Babysitting, where he was like four. He just let himself go.
Right.
Well, he couldn't even walk straight in Jurassic World. Because of it.
But I just thought it was fun. It was a fun movie, and it showed. And, you know, I. Going into it, I'm like, all right, another Jurassic Park movie. What can they do that's different? And they did it. There was some twists in this that you didn't see coming and didn't know about. Those round things that the kids rode on.
Yeah,
that was I want to ride on those.
Yeah.
That was really cool. That was really cool. But yeah, so anyway.
Well, Jim, I just wanted to thank you for doing this. It was awesome.
Oh, anytime. It was
a lot of good
fun.
Content. And
thank you.
I think, fans will definitely want to hear it. So.
Yeah, thank you, Jim. I appreciate your time and everything that Tony said. So, all right.
No, thank you.
We got to get you back on the show sometime.
It was a lot of fun.
This was great.
It was a lot of fun. So, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good night.
Farewell and adieu to you fair Spanish ladies. Farewell and adieu, you ladies of Spain. For we've received arranged for to sail back to Boston. And so nevermore shall we see you again.